Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
country, and better keep it that way because we're facing financial disasters, foreclosures, a lot of things that you've heard about, but you better take even more seriously because I do not believe, and other people don't believe, especially people who are watching Mr. O today, that they were discussing his body language on Fox News. And says one thing, but the body language betrays what he says. So it's not only him, it's Soros and these other people who have hijacked American democracy or try to hijack it. Let's go to a pleasant subject today. We do this every day or every time we're on, and that is what's the historical events, births, deaths, events that are relevant today and which have significance in history. Let's start with food. In 1718, the Earl of Sandwich, John Montagu, invented the sandwich, and this is how it purportedly happened. He decided to, usually the way those people ate, the English especially were barbarians, was the Normans that taught the Saxons how to live, and the Plantagenets and William the Conqueror and that whole crowd in 1066. But this is, of course, 700 years later, and the Earl of Sandwich was gambling, and he didn't want to get up, or he was doing something, he didn't want to get up from what he was doing, and he ordered some bread and some meat, and he decided to facilitate things while he was engaging in the other activity, that he put the meat between two slices of bread, and that's where we got sandwich, supposedly. Also today, in 1952, and I think Clarence Birdseye lived in Illinois. I've got to check that again. Anyway, he invented frozen peas, and that was a period in American history where women were trying to find easier ways to cook their meals, especially the dinner meal. A lot of women were not in the workplace at that time, but we were moving in that direction. And, of course, Birdseye Foods was bought out, I think, by General Foods, out of White Plains, New York. And I think he lived, I'm going to check on this, I didn't have time to run it, but we'll get back to that because it's really important. And let's see, here's some of the other important birthdays today. One of the great French thinkers, and he served in the Spanish Civil War on the Loyalist side, the Communist side, and served in the De Gaulle government. We'll get into Charles de Gaulle later this month because it's his birthday, and there is a connection to San Francisco, a very nice connection. André Malraux was born in 1901. And then talk about politics and the good old boys. In 1910, Russell Long, Senator Russell Long, the son of Huey Long, the original Kingfish, he was born in Louisiana, and he was a longtime congressman and senator, head of the Ways and Means, I think, for a long time in Congress. I think he's dead now. And then for us who like actors and a lot of action, Charles Bronson was born today in 1922. He anglicized his name. I think it was Polish or Slavic. And then the first black to run the Department of Health and Human Services, Lewis Sullivan, he was born today. Also in 1933, the first Greek ethnic to run for president and Democratic ticket and governor of Massachusetts, Michael Dukakis, was born today. And then of the deaths we have, let's see, oh, there are not too many, there weren't any prominent ones. And then of the events today, 1394, and this is still a thread in French history and culture, Jews were expelled from France. There's been a lot of problems with the French attitude toward Jews, even though they've had a lot of prominent Jews in their culture and in their history. The Captain Dreyfus case, big scandal. We have the current president of France, Sarkozy, who's Hungarian ethnic. His grandfather was the chief rabbi of France. He became Roman Catholic. In fact, the cardinal of Paris, Cardinal Archbishop, was a Jew, and he converted to Catholicism, became a prelate in the Roman Catholic Church. I think he's dead now. And then we have in 1762, it's important to our history, Spain acquired Louisiana. Then there was a deal. Spain needed money, and they sold it to the French. The French needed money, and Jefferson was around at the right time, and we got it, biggest land acquisition in our history. And then this is important, in 1783, at the end of the Revolutionary War, George Washington, the commander-in-chief, disbanded the Continental Army. This is important because the man who came over from Germany, or what was Prussia at the time, Baron von Steuben or von Steuben, came over and cleaned up the Continental Army's act, how they handled sanitation, food, discipline, and he was also probably the first gay in the known gay in the American military, and we'll get into that later this month. And then in 1868, after Reconstruction in the South, the first black was elected to Congress, John Maynard, and he was from Louisiana. And then let's see, what else do we have today? We have typical racism, the Anti-Oriental Acts and Attitudes on the West Coast in 1885. In Tacoma, Washington, vigilantes drove out the Chinese, burned their houses and their businesses. We've had such things as the Oriental Exclusion Act, the Chinese Exclusion Act, anti-Japanese legislation here in San Francisco and in California. Also, the Filipinos who came over could not marry, quote, white women. Horrible things, racism, which was going on in this country. But we always go beyond that and move forward. Don't look back. In 1888, Jack the Ripper supposedly killed his last victim. They were supposed to be prostitutes. It's been alleged that Jack the Ripper was actually, I think, one of the sons of Queen Victoria, possibly the Duke of Clarence. That's just a suspicion. And then this is important. Today, Colombia granted Panama its independence, and this is related to Juan Williams, who was actually born, the controversy involving him and National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting System A lot of people think that he was there long enough and he should have known about their practices and their attitudes, but as long as he was getting a paycheck, he wasn't going to stir up anything. So we'll see where this goes with Fox. And then we have William Howard Taft was elected in 1908, and he was the fattest president. In fact, they had to build a special bathtub for him, and he liked milk, and they had a cow in the back of the White House. And he was also Governor General of the Philippines, and it was said that when he got on a horse, it was cruelty to the animal because he was too damn fat. And then we have, in 1918, the end of the First World War, the Austro-Hungary Empire was called the Dual Monarchy. In fact, the Emperor of Austria was crowned in Vienna, then he had to go to Budapest and be crowned again. And that was the last one, was actually, I think, Emperor Karl and of the Habsburgs. And there, I think there's a Habsburg. I was told by Patrick Butler, one of our correspondents, that he had interviewed Otto von Habsburg, one of the claimants to the dead Austrian throne, Habsburg. And then we have, this is back to animals. In 1957, the Russians launched into space the first dog, and it did survive. Then we had, this is related to Chile and the problems they had. The first Marxist was elected, democratically elected, we have to say. A lot of Americans didn't like this. And Salvatore Allende didn't survive, and there was a military uprising successful. And he was either assassinated or he committed suicide. We don't know. And then the first one of the first women in modern history to be assassinated was cremated. On this day, Indira Gandhi, the daughter of Nehru, and who was connected to the Congress Party and Indian independence, first woman prime minister of India, she was assassinated by a Sikh when she was walking in her garden. We had, interestingly, an assassination, political assassination, said of a official in Nevada, a woman. So women are not, they do get off. We, in fact, talking about Austria-Hungary, the wife of the emperor who lived the longest in and reigned in Austria-Hungary, Empress Elizabeth was Francis Ferdinand, His wife, Elizabeth, was assassinated by an anarchist when she was touring Italy. Or she went into mourning after her son, the Archduke, who was the heir to the throne, couldn't marry the woman that he was in love with. And the famous affair was called the Suicide of Meyerling. And it's an interesting, little-known part of Austrian history. Then we have, what else happened today? So getting back to the elections, we're going to run a special. I'm wondering what happened to the George Christopher since we're gone giant crazy in this town. Let's see. This should be it. Let me see. Something screwed up here. Excuse me. Let's see if this is it.
One of my little spies said,
"This is
I
it.
Saw Walter O'Malley.
This is part three.
Up at Chavez Ravine. Oh, I said, that's wonderful. So I called Norrie Polson immediately. And always denied that he ever spoke to O'Malley. I said, Norris, I said, Mr. Mayor, I used to call. Better get down to Norrie. I said, look, I'm the mayor here. You're the mayor down there. We have to cooperate. I'm going to ask you for the last time. What did Walter O'Malley tell you when you spoke to him last? Well, I didn't even know that he had spoken to him. I just suspicioned that he might. So Norrie says, well, how did you know that I spoke with him? And I says, well, I says, I got this information. And I said, it's about time you and I agreed to be frank with each other because it means a whole lot to our city. And finally he agreed that he had spoken with him. I says, all about Chavez Ravine. Well, he says, yeah. I says, okay. Now I go back to New York. And I told Walter O'Malley and stone them. I said, now there's some impediment here, and I'd like to have you tell me what that impediment is so we can straighten it out. Because if Mr. O'Malley, and he was right there, if he goes to Los Angeles and gets that beautiful piece of property, Chavez Ravine, I said, you will want to come to San Francisco. He said, well, that's when he broke the ice a little bit. He said, Mayor, he said, I will not move from New York until I can go to a place where there's parking. I have to have parking. I said, how much parking? He said, 12,000 parking spaces at least. Well, where do you find 12,000 parking spaces in San Francisco? But here's what happened. Walter O'Malley went to, he traded equally, dollar for dollar, not dollar for dollar, he traded equally the old Wrigley Field, which was appraised at $300,000. In exchange, he got Chavez Ravine gratis. Well, Chavez Ravine was valued at $17 million in those days. It's a big piece of property. He traded that equally. Whereas Candlestick only cost $11 million. The grading, the filling, the construction, everything only cost $11 million. And so I came back and I got Walter Haas Sr. and brought Stoneham out quietly. First, and we had dozens and dozens of recommendations about where to put a stadium. When he told me that I would move, he said, I might move if I have adequate parking. Otherwise, I'll go to Minneapolis, where he had a farm team. That's where his farm team was at the time. So I started listening to all the alternatives. People say, well, how about Old Seal Stadium? Where's the parking? No parking at all. To get 10,000 parking spaces, which we reduce it to 10,000, you have to have 75 acres of land. That's what it takes. Then they'd say, well, you've got to park across the street. I said, now here comes all the dissidents. The park across the street was a dedicated park donated to the city, and if you use it for anything else except that purpose, it would revert back to the ownership. And then they said, well, how about Third and Mission? Oh, my God. As soon as they said that, the Emporium and Macy, not Macy's then, but iMagnon and all these other big department stores threatened to move. And by golly, you know, if we ever lost these major department stores, that would be a tremendous loss. And we even thought about McLaren Park. Finally, Walter Haas and I took a ride out to the Candlestick area where the Planning Commission, the Park Commission, and everybody had recommended that it be built there. And I said, Walter, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start here from Third and Mission and drive out to Candlestick, and we'll see how long it takes us to get out there. It took 7 minutes to drive out here. Well, there's no great difference. The weather, sure, is a little coolish, but I don't think that bothered anybody.
That's why you didn't. I hear this complaint today that it's cold out there. But people wanted to be out in the fresh air and went out there.
Well, I don't know. I've been out to Candlestick Park many times, and I would see these young men, especially bare-chested, walking around. The sun would be out, and then in the next morning's paper, I would read, we were all out at windswept Candlestick Park yesterday. So that became a habit. But I don't know that it, and then they used all kinds of things to derogate Candlestick during the Loma Prieta
earthquake.
They even one fellow said, well, had said before, well, it was made out of cheap cement. Well, that irritated me more than anything else, because cheap cement signifies that somebody made some money on it unduly. But nevertheless, you have to bear in mind that when that earthquake took place, and there were 60,000 people, the World Series was on, and nothing happened to it.
That's the end of part three, and we're going to do an encore, because we've been requested on Friday, of the entire interview. It's very important to San Francisco's history. Walter Haas, the man he mentioned, was the owner, or president, chairman of the board of Levi Strauss, which made the famous overalls or Levi pants. I'm going to play a political stanza from a political song, which was part of the legalization of marijuana, which went down to defeat. We're not going to have legalized pot, because also the Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice, would have filed a lawsuit against San Francisco. They should have done it a long time ago. So this song, it's kind of hip-hop-ish. The lyrics ring very true, so we're just going to play a stanza because there's some raunchy parts to it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And it should be here. Wait a minute. Sorry about that. We're this new system here. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, here it goes.
Roll another blunt. Yeah. Okay. La-da-da-da-da-da. Clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed. But I got high.
La da.
I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why?
Yeah, hey, 'cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
La da. They took my whole paycheck, and I know why. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La da da da. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da.
Well, it's very apropos, that song, if you listen very carefully to the lyrics. There's one of the big myths, political fictions, that today's marijuana pot is the same as the love bud of the 60s. I smoked some myself. We called it mellow yellow and all those sort of things. But with the pollinization, the latest scientific methods and techniques that they've applied, and the lamps and all of that, this is the THC is much more potent than all the other things that are in marijuana. And the other myth is that it was prescribed for me because I was in an accident, and it was discovered that the chemical in one of part of the composition of marijuana, the part of that can be used without smoking to alleviate your pain. And the doctors do it for cancer patients and other people with chronic pain syndrome and all of that. So that's one of the myths. And what people are concerned about, and rightfully so, we've had this situation here in San Francisco where a gay man, a political activist, set up this free pot shop, and all of a sudden, supposedly to help people with cancer, especially teenagers. Well, we had the biggest increase among teenage cancer that was seen in Northern California because we're all flocking over there to get pot. And the place was under surveillance. You could tell by the trucks that were parked around there. They made themselves pretty obvious to try to tell people, to discourage people from going there. And according to the State Department of Justice, California Department of Justice, records that the people working in the shop, the teenagers, the young men, were being paid $500 a week in cash plus all the pot they could smoke. So they finally shut the place down. But this political activist set up shop across from the school, and this is one of the issues about legalization of pot, that it's not going to be a moneymaker, it's going to be a problem maker, and also kids will be using it. And we have caught a woman, two women, out-of-staters driving and smoking a joint and using the cell phone. And this is one of the problems. And, of course, the lyrics in this song, When the guy becomes a paraplegic, it's because he got high. So these are things that people that the pro-legalization of marijuana advocates don't want you to know about or won't address when they're confronted with these questions. So it's really too bad, and it's interesting the number of people who are opposed to it. And it's not the same as alcohol, although abuse of alcohol is a problem and always has been a problem. But legalization of pot, it's just too easy to get for kids. And, of course, it's very expensive now. It used to be, we used to talk about nickel bags. Now that stuff, the real primo stuff, can be as much as $100 a bag or more. And people fight over it. They go crazy. And it's just something that should be kept out of most people's hands and out of their nose. Excuse me. Now, the other thing, let's see if we have a minute to play it. Will Rogers was one of the last of the real political humorists who could say things without being nasty like some of these so-called humorists today. And this is what he had to say about politics and civilization.
Let's get back from these political parties and get back to civilization. So there's nothing in common between politics and civilization. Ain't nothing common between those two at all. If as history has shown, the Lord does bury each succeeding civilization and buries them in accordance to the advancement of the people in that neighborhood, I feel proud that I come from that particular Middle West belt. The civilization had to be buried as it becomes advanced enough. Well, we feel proud that we're the ones to be plowed under first, that's all. In years to come, the archaeologists, we got that right. The archaeologists will dig and find Claremore, Oklahoma, and people will come there to the ruins down and say, here lied a civilization. Well, then later on, they'll unearth the state capital, and then eventually, as Washington is covered up, on account of its being the least civilized, it'll be the last place covered up. They will excavate in there and find the old capital and decipher some of the old hieroglyphics, that people of those days humorously call laws, they let the fields all there, and they'll come from the four corners. I bet they come from all over the whole country, four corners of the earth, to see what queer race live there, And they'll find places called banks where the money changers were, Men who in those ancient days lived by interest alone.
Will Rogers, a really great political humorist, and things that he said rang true back in the 30s and even more true and apropos today. So let's end with what's really appropriate for this election.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony. Up to you.
Okay, Johnny, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear.
We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
In more ways than one, this is Pierre Paul Brizola. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back Friday for an hour-long program. Good night.